Morning, everyone.
Morning.
I want to thank everyone for their prayers during the time we were in Taiwan. It meant more than you could ever know. And there were people who provided food for us during this time of loss, and they also offered kind words. And all of those things mean a lot to us. And I want to tell you that even though, you know, you go through an experience like that, where you lose someone in your family and then you go to Taiwan, which is 6,000 miles away, and you go through you would take it for granted, you know, in this day of age that you go that far and you come back, but it's just an amazing thing that you can do that. And it takes a toll on you physically. So even though I'm tired, on the outside, inside, I'm very eager to share what God has today for us to learn. I put this on my heart for quite some time, and because of the things that we've gone through in our family, it affects you too because you're part of our family, and it you can't help but be changed in some way when you experience these things. And so whatever happened to us really is reflected inside of me somehow, and that's what this is all about. It's life that we go through is about not just waking up and doing stuff every day. It's about being given an opportunity to get up in the morning and to live a life with meaning and with some purpose in it. And the only reason that we can do that is because we know Jesus. I'm convinced of that 100%. And I hope that God will bless us today with some of the things I want to share with you. Let's just bow for a moment for it. Dear Heavenly Father, you have created this earth. You have created the heavens. And you are the God that we worship today. You are the God who has given us life and purpose here on earth. You have given us the blood that flows through our veins and the brains and the hearts and the souls that we have, the bodies that we use for playing music and for playing sports or studying or doing whatever it is that we do, Lord. You have given it to us for your purpose and your glory. And I just pray, Father, in thanks to you that you have given me this opportunity to speak here, the sinner that I am, the one that you know, Lord, is at heart a person who is not deserving of the grace that you have given to me. And I just thank you for that honor. And despite this weakness, Father, I know that you have lifted me up just as Christ rose from the dead. And each one of us has that opportunity if they profess Christ as their Savior. We just thank you, Father, for this great honor. And we ask that you give us strength, spiritual and physical, as we approach our lives so that we can really concentrate on you and learn what you have to say to us for a world that is so in need of this good news that you have to give to us. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Noah. The first thing I thought about with Noah was that in our Sunday school class, we never got a chance to do this, guys, but I think we should do it still, is sing the Arky Arky song. Do you remember the Arky Arky song? Noah, he built him an Arky Arky. You ever heard that song? Raise your hand if you heard that song. Zachary knows it. I'm just saying we have to sing that song someday because it's a lot of fun. And it makes you feel good. And the ark and all the animals, and recently there was a film that we actually saw that is not exactly biblical. It's not really close to what the Bible says, but there's Evan Almighty. I don't know if you saw that film.
Oh.
It's very funny. Very funny. I think it's actually recommendable to a certain extent. But you have to know what the Bible says to really appreciate it, I think. And what I'd like to do today, though, is to talk about something that's serious, but also something that, if you understand it, gives you a sense of peace and of joy in your heart at the same time as giving you pause to think about something seriously. Okay? And what I'd like to do is to talk to you about terms in terms of a God who we have, or at least I've been trying to convey in some of the things I've said to you guys, that God has given us a heart, a soul, a mind, a body, a spirit to for a purpose. It all works together. And the Crew kids, everybody that comes to Crew knows that we're going through a book called Renovation of the Heart. And it's not by accident. God really wanted us to take a look at these things for a purpose. And it really fits in with the whole Bible message. It fits in with the whole Bible message. And that's the real reason that we're reading that book. That book has no other value if it hadn't been based on what the Bible teaches us, because it was written by a man just like you and I. But the Bible truths that he's trying to convey to us through this book, Renovation of the Heart, come from the Bible, and they're based on things like we're reading about in Noah today. One of the other reasons that I wanted to talk about this is because I've been going to school, and we've been going through the book of Genesis. And the other thing I can tell you, honestly, from my heart, is that I have become a person who has more than ever appreciated the Word of God. If you can compare it to the idea of sitting down, and I've said this before, it's like eating a steak. It's like eating a steak, and you're sitting there, and you're enjoying the flavor of it and the richness of it, and it makes you feel warm inside. And it's a pitiful example to compare the Bible to, but that's exactly the way I feel. It's just like a warm feeling inside when you read it. Because it's reassuring, and you have this feeling not only that you are reading words by someone, but you are reading words by God. And it draws our attention into those things, and we really need to. When you bring your Bible, or if you forgot your Bible today, don't forget it. Bring your Bible to church. Remember that God has inspired men to write these words down. This Bible is not just like a library book that you take out, or a book that you buy in the bookstore and that you let sit on the shelf. It's something that you need to be reading and indulging in, and that's part of the message today too. Okay, so let's get right into it. What I want to draw your attention to is that God, in the book, in the chapter 5 of Genesis, the last verse, it said, after Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. 500 years old. Okay. The next verses leading into the next chapter, I believe, I have an intention of emphasizing what exactly happened after that and why it happened. It says that if you read through the first couple verses of chapter 6, when men began to increase in number on the earth and the daughters were born to them, the sons of men saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. Really, what God is saying is that he's contending. He's having to fight for something with man. He's saying that I'm not going to do this anymore. I have given Noah and people like Noah before him 500 years, a long time to live, but I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to limit the length of a man's life. Okay? And there was something very tragic about that. And that when we read on through these verses, we're going to see a God that is not just someone who plays games with mankind like he's some kind of a pawn in his hand, but he's a God who has a relationship with mankind. He's one who had purposed something for mankind, and this relationship was being threatened. And it's a God that we're going to see in the next few verses. If you want to turn to those verses that we just heard Helen read to us, I want to go back over those again so that you can maybe hear again what exactly is going on with this God that created us. It says, the Lord, in verse 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Only evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved. The Lord was grieved that he had made him up on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. His heart was filled with pain, and so the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. So here we have a God who has created mankind. If you read through the book of Genesis, it doesn't take you long to get to this point. But God created man and woman. He gave them life. He blessed them with everything they could possibly want. They had everything that they wanted. God wanted, his intention was to make them happy. It was to communicate with them, to commune with them, to have a relationship with them, so that they would have everything that they possibly could have. And yet something happened along the way. And that's what we want to talk about today. And the real questions that I really want to discuss today are, is it possible to be righteous in an unrighteous world? Is it possible to be unrighteous in an unrighteous world? And also, the other thing I want to talk about is the coming of Jesus Christ and what our attitudes need to be in anticipation of his coming. Okay, so we're going to look at Noah and his example about this. But first of all, we have to understand that God has a heart. We're not talking about a God that is a Buddha who sits up on an idol stand and blinking lights that was made by some man. We're talking about a real God who created you and me, who created the heavens and the earth, the trees outside that we can see, the materials that were used to build this building, the seats that we're sitting in, the tables that are sitting there, the computers that we use every day. He is the one who has originated all of that. He has the power, and mankind has only taken what God has given to him and has produced those things. But God is not just a God who has given us those things. He is a God who has a heart, and he's a God who has feeling. He's a God who grieved over what he saw was happening. He was so grieved and so upset that he felt that it was a mistake to have made mankind in the first place. Oftentimes people look at God and they think that he's unfair. They feel that he is a mean God, that he has intended for things to happen that are bad. But right here in the beginning of Genesis, we see that God had intended things for good, that he had intended man to be blessed, but actually man did something to ruin that relationship, and he grieved God. And the thing that really jumped out at me is I was doing a paper on this subject. Not only this, but Sodom and Gomorrah, I was reading, I sent out a newsletter and mentioned this, but the whole theme that came out of that paper and what became clear to me was my own sinfulness. I was writing a paper, and you know, it's very easy when you're doing something like a paper, you try to write down what you think the professor wants to hear because you want an A. Right? So you have this kind of an idea, and what is becoming clear to me is in college, and this is kind of a heads up to all of you, is that when you're writing something, it's really good that you personalize it. You should not just do it because you want an A, you shouldn't do it because you want to say the right things, but you should try to think about what that subject is doing in your life. I can't say that I went to that paper doing that. It was the Holy Spirit telling me this. And I was convicted of sin in my own life when I was doing that. But one of the things that jumped out at me is the idea that came on later on. It says, now the earth, if you go down to verse, I can't see, what verse is it? The next one, 13 or 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to them, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. And then jump down to the end. It said that Noah did as the Lord asked him to. This whole idea of violence and corruption were the words that spoke to me. I really feel that what happened here is something that we need to know about. And in our world, I have to tell you, when I see what is happening and I look around, I see exactly the same thing. I see corruption and I see violence. There's violence all around us. I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but I think you are without perhaps not knowing it, but it is around us. And there are different things that happen. First of all, God, in these verses, was really not saying, these people sin today and I've had enough of it. The feeling that I'm getting from this and from my understanding of this is that the people were given time to change. They were given time to consider God. They were given their lives, and God had patience with them. And we read that in 2 Peter. He reemphasizes that God has given them time, but he's had enough. And what has happened is that with this word corruption is worth looking at, because it really implies that things were good and they have become worse. What was good has become bad, right? If something is corrupt, it was good, it was in its full state, it was in a good state, and it turned bad. And there are stages. If you look at it in the patterns of our own lives and the patterns of the world, you'll see that that's exactly what happened. People start out small, and it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows over time to a state of corruption. Right? It grows from something that had good intentions, a life is born, and it comes into this world, and there are things that happen to it along the way that damage it. And the reactions that people have to those kind of things causes them to be corrupt. Right? So you can see that if a person is violent, it's as a result of something happening in that person's life that has helped them to come to that point. But the bottom line is that God is saying that we are responsible for ourselves. We are responsible for ourselves because He exists. And what we're going to be learning this week in Crew, and that in the renovation of the heart, is that that we are responsible for ourselves. That we choose to live lives that are self-worshipping. That we don't worship God, that we don't see Him anymore, and that's exactly what's happening here, is that the people that were living during this time became corrupt and became violent because they became more self-centered. They didn't want to have anything to do with God. They didn't want to acknowledge Him anymore as the one that made heaven and earth. Why else would God be grieved? Why else would God be grieved? He has this relationship set up with them, right? But He saw that they didn't want Him anymore. They wanted to do things their own way, and that's what happens when a person, if you want to see a person become corrupt, if you want to see people becoming violent, then those people are going to be farther and farther away from God. God intends things for good, and God blesses those who are righteous. And He found one person during this time. You can only imagine the importance of this. There was only one person that they mentioned, that was Noah. And so Noah was not just somebody who built an archy-archy. Noah stands for righteousness in a world that was violent and corrupt and sinful, and so much so that God said, enough, I cannot stand it anymore, and I won't put up with it. I cannot have this anymore. I was talking to Lee Chan last night about the concept of righteousness, and I was saying, okay, well, you know, we were discussing what is righteousness and how would you justify what God did? And what she said was that, first of all, righteousness is having a character like God, having a character like Jesus. And then the other thing that she said was that God was justified in doing what He did with the people on the earth because He created them. It's pretty simple, right? But that's the truth. He has the right. He is God. He is the one who created mankind. But mankind has a problem with that. That's also going to come up this week in the book. People don't want to acknowledge Him anymore. They want to go in their own ways. And that's the problem that we all face, and every one of us is facing in our own lives. We want to go our own way. Take a look at your own life with your parents. I want you to do this today. I don't want to do that today. It starts there. I don't want to do that. Why? I just don't want to do it. I'd rather do what I want to do. It's more fun to do what I want to do than to do what you just told me to do. But I'm your parent. I want you to do this. Do we still do it? Sometimes we don't. Why? Because we don't want to do what we're told. We don't want to feel that someone has the power over us to say that we should be doing these things. If you go and you get a job, it doesn't stop at your age. It continues on. Your boss comes up to you, I want this done by tomorrow. I don't want to do it tomorrow. By tomorrow, I want an extra week. Why didn't you do that? Well, I didn't have time. I told you I wanted that done. All these conflicts are set up all through life, and they remind us of this relationship that is going to happen. You cannot always have your own way. If you do, it's going to lead to corruption. It's going to lead to sinfulness. It's going to lead to you feeling that you are more and more in control of whatever it is that you want to do. One of the concepts that's also going to come up in this week in the book that we're reading is the idea of sex and violence. People are being bombarded every day. You turn on the computer, we have a virus, and we, against our will, we're having all these sex URLs popping up in front of our face with stuff that is just shocking. And it's being bombarded on us with, against our will. And that's a concern to me. That's a concern to me, but it really needs to point out to you exactly what God was talking about here. That's what God is talking about. The concept of the internet in itself is very good. It's a very good and high value. It's something that is intended to bring the world closer together. And what are people doing? They're taking advantage of that, and they are perverting it and corrupting it. They're taking something that was good and has a good intention, something that can help to make people uplifted and built together, and they can learn from one another. And there are perfectly good things in that, but it is used in corrupted ways. Because the sinfulness behind mankind, they are seeking those things. And one of the concepts that we're looking at here is that man is not satisfied with just the more, maybe less serious sins, but it develops from something small and it develops into something more perverted and something more dirty and more violent in the end. I have to tell you something. I've been talking about myself and my own sinfulness, and I'm really, battling with that, and I don't want to, I've had some people in the tell me, if you talk enough about that, people are really going to think whether you're a Christian or not. And whether you should be doing that, the work that you're doing. And this is a big question for me. How much do you tell people about the bad side of yourself? But I don't feel like I can stop. I just feel that if I don't do that, then I'm not doing what God is telling me to tell people. There are certain people, in the church that they come across because they're active and they do things. You have this impression that they're not sinful, but that's not the truth. The only reason that we're here is because we have Jesus Christ. The only reason that we're pure is because Jesus has made us pure. My intention is not to tell you everything dirty about myself. My intention is to tell you what my conscience is telling me about the Holy Word of God so that you can also learn from it. And perhaps by hearing that I'm not so perfect, that you also can go to God and receive His forgiveness just like I do. What I'm leading up to is this. I went up to my father one time, and we had this terrible argument. And we were both shaking. We were just so upset with each other. And my father said, "Why did you hit me?" And I said, "I didn't hit you." And he said something that really got to me. And he said, "You hit me with your words. You hit me with your words." And I started thinking about that when I was writing that paper. And I said, "That's violent. The way that I speak to you, or the way that I speak to someone else, if I'm in this kind of a frame of mind where I'm standing up for myself and I'm demanding that you listen to what I say, and I'm unhappy with you, and I'm only going to see things my way, and I'm upsetting someone in that way, that's a form of violence. It doesn't have to be with a gun. That comes from the other violence. That comes from the inner tensions of a person saying, I've been treated unfairly in life, and I'm going to do something about it, and I'm not going to take it anymore, and I've had enough of everybody mistreating me. And I'm going to stand up for myself, and this is the way I'm going to say it." I hope that you never get to that point with your father that I did, but I'm determined never to let that happen again. We go on through life, and we start to think that we have good reason for defending ourselves and doing the things that we do because we have been wronged in some way. And the reason that happens is because we forget about God. Everybody is forgetting about God in this world, and that's why there's corruption. You want to know why there's war? Because people are not respecting God. Are you going to tell me if Jesus Christ came back in his glory and power that everyone is going to be able to pick up their guns and say, boom, I'm going to kill you now? They would have to answer to someone, right? You have to answer to him. You can't do it just what you want. And that's what Noah was righteous about. He knew exactly who he was talking about, and he did what he was told. And then it brings us into this whole thing where this funny movie about Evan Almighty is this person who is in front of everybody trying to build an ark. And that's the good thing about the movie, is that he did this ridiculous thing that everybody was laughing at him for, and he did it anyway because God told him to do it. And so he built this ark, and he created this whole big thing, and he lost his job and all these different things, and he was saying, wow, God is... That's the whole point. God wants me to lose my job so I can spend more time on his ark. And that's kind of the message here. God wants us to lose our jobs and to lose our focus on this world so we have more time for him. And don't fool around with him. Your life is not your own. And you're old enough to hear this. Your life does not belong to you. And your mom and dad are your parents, and they're over you, and that's the end of it. There isn't any kind of like, well, yeah, but, I'm sorry. That's the end of it. You are to do what you're told. Why? Because God is there. Because God is there. Not because he's going to go, boom, I'm going to kill you, but because God has a heart, and he has a relationship with you, and he has a purpose for your life, and he's the one who made you in the first place. Don't lose the sight of that fact. He is the one behind your mom and dad. He's the one who brought you out from your mom's womb. He's the one who knew you before you were formed in this world. He's the one who talks about you and me in this Bible that we're reading and we're teaching to each other here in this church. And we as parents have to also keep our wits about us, and we have to understand that we belong to someone else too. That God is our God, and we have a responsibility to come to church. We have a responsibility to come and learn more about him. We have a responsibility to show our children how to live. We have a responsibility to ask for forgiveness. And that's a whole other thing that comes out of this too. When we are righteous, then we are acknowledging that we are forgiven and that we have to forgive others too. You cannot go on in life feeling something in your heart against someone and be at peace with God. It's not possible. And so there was this idea of corruption and wickedness and violence that grew from a small seed and grew and grew and grew bigger and bigger. People became less happy with what they were doing, and so they looked for something worse than that, and it grew to the point where they were violent. You know Jesus Christ, and you get to know him, just like we've been trying to look at together on Friday night. It's going to get to that point where we start to see that the more that we're like Christ, the less interested we are in ourselves and what we want and what others want. We want what others want. We want what God wants. And those things don't threaten us anymore. It's not a threat to us when we don't get what we want. Just doesn't interest us anymore. And the one that gave us that example the best was Jesus Christ. If we look at the book in 2 Peter, right, if you turn to chapter 3 of Peter, he's talking about another day. Right? And we were reading this in the responsive reading. We read through these things, you know, because we're supposed to read the responsive reading. Oftentimes we don't get too much time to think about it. But I'd like for you to look at it again. It says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. All right, so here it is. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Noah was a man who had a relationship with God, he was a righteous person. He stood out, and God knew him as because of his righteousness. Right? He was someone who did what was right in the face of the Lord. And he didn't cave in to what the corruption was around him. He didn't do what the other people told him to do. Can you imagine that? Right? You're building an ark, and you're doing what God is saying, and they're all going up to you and going, "You're crazy. There's not going to be any flood. Look in the sky. There's no clouds in the sky. You're building this ark, and you're saying that this day is going to happen." But Noah believed God. And one of the things that I was learning from one of the commentaries that I read about this was that this relationship was set up that was very interesting. It was God looking at Noah and having trust that he would do what he told him to do, because he had a choice, right? He didn't really have to do it. And there was Noah trusting God that he'd really bring the water and the flood to him. And that this whole thing that he was spending his whole life on and being ridiculed for and being made fun of by all the people around him was really going to happen. But we're in a similar situation today. Paul talks about that in the New Testament. He says if Christ didn't rise from the dead, if he really didn't conquer death and isn't in heaven, then we're the biggest fools of anyone. But if he did, which I believe he did, then we need to be prepared when he gets here. And that's what Peter is talking about here, right? Where is this coming he promised? The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is going to return. There's going to be a day when he returns. And that is the time that we're living in now, just like Noah was then waiting for this flood to happen. But we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that we are in a time right now where Jesus Christ can come back any time. And it says in these verses that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. There is going to be a time when Jesus comes back and all these things, this world, the corruptness and the violence and everything that we're seeing in it now, is going to have its time. And the Lord is going to come back and conquer and take those who belong to him, to his kingdom, to live forever. And those are the times that we live in now, and we need to remind ourselves of that. We need to remind ourselves to live righteously like Noah did. But we also have to examine our relationship with God and say, do I really believe that? Do I really trust that what is written there is going to happen? Well, one of the ways that I do that is by looking at what happened and what came to pass with Noah. He was told that the flood was coming. He had to have trust. He had to have this belief that God was going to stand behind what he said, and he had to believe that God was greater than himself, and it happened. So why would it not happen now? Why would the other words of the prophecy and what Jesus said was going to happen, why would they not come true? I believe it. But I believe more than anything that the idea of this ending, this coming end to this world is not the thing that I'm fearing. It is the coming of a righteous one. The righteous one, Jesus Christ, who is going to come and return and take me with him to live forever, because my life is going to have an end. I'm not going to have more than 120 years. I'm probably not going to have more than 80 years. Who knows? Who knows when Jesus is coming? He could come today. I want to go with the one who is truly righteous. I want to be with the one who looked down on me and my sin and said, I love you anyway, and I'm going to save you from this. And all you have to do is come to me and believe in me, and I'll give you life. That's what I want. And that's why I'm talking to you today. I want to close today with a few verses just at the end to remind you of what's going on here. If you turn to your Bibles, to 2 Peter chapter 3, right where we left off. This is the reminder that God is giving to us, okay? It says in verse 11, Chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The way that we live can speed the coming of God. The way that we live can speed the coming of God. The day will be, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt into the heat. But, and this is very important, it says, in keeping with his promise, We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So you see, the righteous are going home. The righteous are going home to the home of righteousness, where the righteous live, where God lives, who is righteous, one whose intention for mankind was to give us goodness and blessing. And he wants to bless us now. He wants to give us these good things and the fruitfulness of our lives. But we need to examine ourselves, everybody. We need to examine ourselves and say, where are we today? Where are we today? What are we doing in our lives? Are we living as though we feel that we just want our own way? Do you see signs in your life where God is farther away than he should be? Do you see signs in your life, in your relationship with your parents, where you're disobeying them and you're acting badly towards them or towards other people? Do you see those kind of patterns in your life? Then bring them to God. Bring them to God and ask him to change you. Ask him to come into your life, to change your heart. Right? Just like we were singing about, change your heart, to change our hearts so that when we see our parents and we see the things that they're asking us to do, we see the love behind it. We see the heart behind what they're asking us to do. And we also acknowledge that there is a God because we're willing to obey them. And when we're in relationships with our mother and father at our age, at an advanced age, or if we're in a relationship with our husband or our wife, we need to acknowledge that we have a God in heaven who is looking down on us and who is saying, I expect you to show love for one another because I love you. The relationship that we have with each other is teaching us and reinforcing the lives that we have with God. And if we do those kind of things, then we will have blessing here on earth and we will have joy in our hearts when we praise him and we acknowledge him and we see how great he is. And the most important thing is that once we have come to that point of acknowledging him and seeing him as on the throne of our hearts and putting him first in our lives, is that he has given us an opportunity, and actually it's a command, to go and tell others about it. When we were in Taiwan, we were under a lot of duress and watching things that I can only, you know, tell you were very, very interesting. But behind all of the things that were going on, you see family that were made by God, that you love and care about, and that these people are searching and trying to live without God. They're living with other ones, but they're not living with their true God. They're trying to make it work somehow. And it's just totally, they're all over the place. So are we going to stand there and just watch that happen? And feel like, well, it's too bad they don't know Jesus. Or are we going to go and tell them about him so that they can also share the hope that we have, so that when the fire and destruction comes, and it will come, that we are prepared and we can say, Jesus, I'm righteous before you because you have made me righteous. I want to go home to the home of righteousness. Take me home, Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the fact that you are righteous and that there is righteousness in this corrupt and wicked world. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to examine our hearts today and to come to an understanding of who you are. So when on the day when you come, Lord, that we are ready, that we are living lives that are pleasing in your sight, that we are actively involved, Lord, in trying to tell other people about you so that they also know. Not just because of the fear, although the fear is true, and we should be afraid of you, Lord, because you are such a great and holy God. And your presence in this world, Lord, just doesn't fit because of the sin. But, Lord, we're talking to someone who sent his own son into this wicked world, and who was scorned and was laughed at, and yet he stood up for what was right. He stood up for the obedience and the willingness to sacrifice his own life for the sake of all of mankind. For this we are eternally grateful, and we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who is unafraid of coming in and being here on earth with us because you know that your power is greater. And we pray for those who don't know you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity, whenever we have it, and the courage and the change in our hearts, Lord, so that your Holy Spirit speaks through us to other people, so that they can come to an understanding of who you are, so that they can come into this relationship that you seek with mankind, and that their lives will be changed forever. Lord, we honor you as the most holy God, the one who is truly righteous, that you oversee the house of righteousness. May we be pleasing in your sight, Lord, and live according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.